Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Runswell podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're talking with Olympic silver medalist Laura Muir. Oh, high profile, Ben. We're moving up in the world.
I mean, it's a huge slam already on all previous guests, but yes, I completely agree.
Laura Muir, come on.
She's got an Olympic medal.
She's a national running hero.
Yeah, she is. She's absolutely brilliant. It was lovely to talk to her too. Not to say that all athletes are not lovely to talk to, but some are nicer than others, and she's up there with the best. So yeah, it's great. Great podcast. Everyone should just keep listening. Get through this bit of me and Rick and you'll be yeah, all right.
Come on, hang in there. It's just like, if we're talking about Laura Muir's 1500 meter, this is like the hard second or third lap, isn't it? Laura Muir's like, you're home straight and you've set a record. It's worth it. Hey, we've got active weekends coming up, Ben, because we're actually recording this the week before the podcast goes out, thanks to the power of technology.
What are you doing?
Tell me what you're up to.
All right. And I'm glad that you phrased it as an active weekend, because mine isn't running. But I have a bike ride on Saturday, which is it's called North London Dirt. It's predominantly off-road, bridleway kind of gravel stuff up and around, probably up towards like Welwyn Garden, Hertfordshire, that way, back into London again.
That sounds a bit like London Stansted. Like, you're not actually in London, are you? You're up in like Hitchin.
Yeah. It's basically just an excuse to go and like get a bike very muddy and then have a beer at the end of it. But it's all for charity. So it has a nice plus to it. So it's good. I'm looking forward to doing that. But you're doing actual running, so let's talk about what you're doing.
Well, I'm doing a sort of version of running. I think it's going to be more hiking because
that's fine.
My knee saga continues, but people have heard enough about that. So going up and doing the Frog Graham round. So lots of our listeners will be familiar with the Bob Graham round, obviously one of the classic British fell running rounds. But there's a Frog Graham, which is a little more under the radar, and it's about half the amount of running with, but it's got swims in it as well. So I think there are five swims in total, and you just swim across the lake, so you don't go around the lakes as you would do in the Bob, I guess, but you go across. So me and two mates are going up to the lakes, and yeah, by the time this comes out, we will hopefully have completed the Frog. I would like to caveat this by saying, to do the Frog officially, you have to do it under 24 hours, similar to the Bob Graham. We're going to do it over 3 days. So it's like more like, no, it's like a sort of like, I'm not going to call it relaxing.
It's quite the caveat. It's quite a caveat. By the way, we're not adhering to any of the rules, but
yeah. No, so I can't officially, I won't be like one of the official finishers, but I will have done, hopefully done all the route.
That's the sort of challenge I like. You've taken a proper challenge and then made it more normal by adding more time.
Yeah, I like this. I like the idea of doing sort of the UTMB over like a fortnight. Like it should be done. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I did like 10K a day.
If you suggested the like altitude gain and distance to anyone of like the UTMB, they'd be like, oh, so a couple of weeks you do that?
Busy couple of weeks.
Extra hard races made easy. Yeah. Rick and Ben. Yeah. All right, look, this has already descended into just like waffling holiday chat. So let's talk to Olympic silver medalist Laura Muir.
Let's do it. Our guest this week is a Scottish middle distance runner who recently won silver in the 1500 metres at the Tokyo Olympics for Team GB. Her other achievements include British records for the 1500 metres and 1000 metres. We're delighted to have her on the podcast to talk about how hard work and self-belief have eventually led to glory. Laura, welcome to the Runners World podcast.
Hi there. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
First of all, a ginormous congratulations on becoming a Olympic silver medalist. That's hell of a thing.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. Pretty chuffed with it. Yeah.
Does it feel real now? Because I get every sort of post-race interview that you see, it's the sort of like there's a real immediacy to the of what's just happened, and it's never sort of sunk quite in with people. Can you look back at it now, and is it feel surreal or real, or you know, what's your brain like with it now?
Yeah, I think I've always said, I think everybody's asked me so far, I've always said it's really surreal, and I think I'm still saying it's quite surreal. Yeah, I think it's just because like when you work so hard for so long for something and then all of a sudden you've got it and you're like, oh. And it's just, yeah, it's very strange to like be there now. Like obviously it's great, but it's yeah, it's still quite surreal. But yeah, just so happy with it. Yeah.
Can you recall the race? I mean, you've probably seen it on TV now, but what was it like in real time when you're going into that final?
Yeah, I mean, I think to be honest, I had to kind of think of it like I couldn't think of it like an Olympic final, because I think if you start thinking like, oh, this is Olympic final, it'd be like, oh my God. So yeah, I just kind of thought of it like any other race and thought about things in my head that, you know, I wanted to do, and you just had to be so sort of switched on and concentrating so hard. And yeah, I just could, within like, yeah, under 4 minutes it was done and that was it. And it's just so, so strange when you cross the finish line and like, this momentous occasion that you've been waiting for, well, usually 4 years for the Olympic cycles, this time it's 5 years, and it's done, and it's like you've been waiting for it for ages and that's it. So yeah.
Well, I don't know how you do it. I get nervous before park run. I'm like, oh, trying to crack 20 minutes, you know, like, will I do it? And it's like, it's amazing that you can perform under that pressure. But I guess that's part of the training, isn't it? You've kind of got used to that kind of world stage and being able to bring out your best when it matters.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I've been fortunate now that I've been running at a high level for quite a few years, so I've had sort of quite a few championships underneath my belt and got all the experience from that. And yeah, certainly a few years ago I was really, really nervous and like that would show my performances, whereas now I'm a lot more experienced and yeah, better prepared for big races like that. Yeah.
Does your brain, I'm always interested, like whenever I've done a race, and Rick, you might be the same, but you have snapshots of what's going on, but you never have that full sort of, you can't recall the whole thing. Can you, like, moment for moment, every kick, every move, could you replay it? Or are you very much like your own race at that moment?
Yeah, it is a very much sort of, yeah, thing at the time. Like, I do remember that last sort of couple hundred metres, and the athlete in front of me, I could see she'd be starting to tire, and I was like, I gotta go. And then I was like so scared that last 100 meters that somebody was gonna come past me and I was gonna come fourth. I was like, no way. So
yeah. You don't look, you couldn't even begin to have a look at that
oh
point.
No, like no. I didn't even look at, there's usually a big screen in front of you as well, and I didn't even look at the screen. I was just like, I'm getting to that line as fast as I can. So I do remember the last couple 100 meters, but before that I think I was just so focused on like what I was doing and just kind of in your own little world with that. So yeah,
it was, I mean, I don't want to get into it, but it was a mad race. Everything happened that kind of wasn't gonna happen. Hassan going so early,
yeah,
and sort of like having to judge that. I mean, I want to talk about pacing in a sort of nerdy way, but middle distance running like that, how do you adjust to the circumstance like that? How do you measure the pacing so to your capabilities versus everyone else's capabilities at that time? Because that, I feel, is like the real difference in middle distance between like that and sticking to a pace for a 5K or those sorts of things. It's like that switch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the 1500 in terms of like how the race can be run is the most sort of unpredictable, and there's definitely the most sort of numbers of ways that it can be run. And I think just, yeah, having raced at championships for a number of years now, I've been in quite a lot of different situations, which has helped prepared me for all those different race scenarios. And then we've worked on my 800 speed a lot this year, as well as sort of my endurance as well. So I think for a 1500 meter runner, you've got to have that endurance and you've got to have that speed as well. It's like a really nice combination of the two. And then you've got to have the tactics as well. So I think it's just such a, I'll be biased, kind of a 1500 meter runner, but I think it's
the best event.
I think it's like, it's just the event which encompasses like everything. It's got tactics, it's got speed, it's got endurance. So, and it's really exciting and fun to be part of and watch too. So yeah.
I think your post-race interview is like, it's going to go down as like one of the great Tokyo moments, I think, because there have been setbacks in your career and there have been disappointments. What advice would you have to anyone who might be going through a setback or a poor performance in their own career? How did you rally yourself and keep going?
Yeah, I mean, I've had quite a few ups and downs. I think that's just, you know, at sport, it's so brutal. Yeah. And, you know, whether that was from not performing as well as I wanted to, or whether it was through injury, lots of different things. But I think sort of the thing that's always kept me going is just my love for the sport. And I just love running so much. And I think it's so easy to kind of take it for granted when everything's going well. So when I've been injured, I just had to keep on focusing on, like, remember what it's like when you're running and it just feels amazing. And as much as it, you know, it was really annoying at the time to be injured and not to be able to run, or if races weren't going to plan, I just had to trust in myself and trust in my own ability that I know it's there. And, you know, it might take a while to get there, or it's frustrating that it's not happened yet, but it'll come if I just keep on working at it and just not to give up. And just believe in yourself and just, you know, work away at it, and hopefully one day it'll come. Yeah.
The other side of your life being a vet, that must complicate and complement the whole structure of your life. And I was just kind of wondering how that balance between the athletics and the work kind of comes into play with what you do. And is it, if it's actually structurally something that aids your, you know, your life and having the two to sort of counter each other, or if it's, you know, something that you should, it's actually really hard, because it sounds really hard.
Yeah, well, I graduated from university in 2018, with my vet degree. And since 2018, I've been a full-time athlete. But whilst I was at university, you know, combining my studies and doing my running, it was really hard. Like, I wouldn't recommend that you go into veterinary medicine and try and become a professional athlete at the same time. For me, I was just really lucky that it just happened. And it was when I went to university that, I met my coach and things started, you know, improving really, really quickly. It was really tough. But I think it just made me appreciate so much, the hard work that people put in, you know, whether it's their career or their sport. And it taught me a lot about structuring my day like so well and being so productive and just organization. And it taught me so much because I had to be super organized. I had to be super productive. I had to be super motivated, you know, to go for runs in the morning when I was just absolutely knackered and had night shifts and all sorts. It really taught me how to be so focused and determined. I think I was going into veterinary, you know, that anyway, but it just really leveled me up. And I think I learned so many lessons about myself and during that process that I've then adopted once I graduated and kept going, which has, seen me, you'll get more successful in the sport as well.
I think it's an amazing work ethic to be able to do those things. Have you got any advice for people who might be trying to get the most from themselves? It might be they've got a busy job and they're trying to, you know, break four for the marathon. But maybe there are some lessons that just for the kind of the sort of enthusiastic amateur that you could take away from your example.
I think just try and be as organized as you can, I think really helps. So it might be that, you know, if you've got a long day, you could use your runs, you can commute to work with them if that's possible. Yeah. For me, like, I always used to bring up my running stuff to uni so that when I finished my placement, I could just go straight from placement to my run, because I knew if I went home and I'd sit down and then I'd be tired and I'd procrastinate for like an hour, and that's like an hour wasted. So when you could have done your run. So for me, it was just being super organized. I batch cook like meals and stuff at the weekend so that I was having like healthy food and not having to get like fast food and stuff if I was short of time. Trying to get as much sleep in as well, because that will help in terms of your recovery. And that means, you know, if you're a little bit tired in your training, then hopefully you won't get injured quite so much as well. Yeah. So I think it's just trying to be, sort of as prepared as possible as you can be. And it is possible to do as well. You know, like, just because you've got a full-time job does not mean that you can't, you know, do sport and stuff. And actually, like, doing sport, I felt, helped me hugely with my productivity during my degree and my exams and stuff. And I think I performed probably arguably better in my exams because of sport and because of running too. So they can complement each other really, really well. Yeah.
I'm interested in the batch cooking, Laura. What's a typical batch cook? Like from a nutrition perspective, are you like in sort of, you know, following the science, or are you kind of into sort of strange ketogenic
things that taste nice?
I'm pretty normal. Yeah. You know, like I batch cook a lasagna or something. Just like, yeah, prep veggies and stuff so that they're easy to cook sort of really quickly. Lots of stir fries and things. Chili.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, I'm like, everything in moderation for me is just like, yeah, make sure you got your protein in, make sure your carbs and your veggies. Yeah, keep it simple.
It's so often the case when Ben and I have talked to, you know, elite athletes like yourself, we talk about nutrition. It's just like a lot of it is common sense. I think the people following these extreme diets are normally just sort of on Instagram, sort of influencing people, and actually they're not really doing much running, you know.
It's really funny because it's a question I get asked a lot about from people, is like, oh, what's your nutrition like? Because I think a lot of people think, oh, it's really, really strict, like you're counting your grams of protein and you've only have to have so many calories a day. But I don't do any of that. Yeah. It's like, you know what, if I'm hungry, I'll eat. If I'm not hungry, I won't eat. You know, just as long as I'm getting that fuel in and I'm running well, then I know that I'm giving my body, you know, what it needs.
Yeah. All right, here's one to keep the sponsors happy. Fruit corner or crunch corner?
Oh, I do like a fruit corner. Yeah, Müller's good with their yogurts, and I love Müller rice as well. Oh, I love rice pudding. When they brought those out, I was like so happy.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If we're dishing out advice, I'm going to go in for another one here. Because my mate Andy, I said I'm
is this a real person? Is this like, have you made this person up?
This is my mate Andy Waterman. He's 41 and he ran a 4:36 at the 1500 meters last night.
Right.
That was last night. That's his new PB. He's very happy. Do you have any tips for getting under 4:30?
Under 4:30.
Can he get younger?
No, he can't. Unfortunately, he can't turn back the wheels of time. That's the only thing.
I think you could try doing some probably like lactic type stuff. So doing like short reps off a short recovery, like some high intensity kind of stuff, I think can really help with sort of your fitness. And I think as you get older, you maybe lose a little bit more of that speed. So doing a bit of speed stuff, I think could possibly help. Yeah.
Were you always an amazing runner, Laura? Was it something that was just like, you know, you won school sports day easily and it's just sort of like you were the best at the club? Or was it, did you come to it later, or was it more of a sort of slow burn thing with you?
Yeah, I was very much a slow burner. Like, I think I first joined my athletics club when I was 11 years old. Because a friend in my school went along, but it's because I just enjoyed it in school, and I wasn't the fastest in my primary school. I wasn't fastest and like necessarily all the school races. I don't think I actually won a race of sports day. I can't really remember. but I just really liked it.
Yeah.
And then my friend said she was going to athletics club, I was like, oh well, you know, I'll join her. And I just sort of did the standard, like, a couple of days a week with kind of the sprints, you know, with the other kids and stuff. And then it gradually evolved from there, like, 3, 4, 5 times a week. Sort of gravitated more towards the middle sort of distance group. And then when I went to university, aged 18, that's when I joined my new coach, Andy. And that was when, like, yeah, I'd literally only ever just scraped a couple of Scottish vests before. And then within 2 months, I had my first GB cap. So, yeah, it was just, I think I just needed something different, that different stimulus. And, yeah, it just went nuts from there. Yeah.
Can you ask you about running for Scotland and running for Team GB? Is there does it feel different? Is it you know, I'm sure that both are, you know, that you do it with great pride in both of them, but does it feel different to run for Scotland and to run for Team GB?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a huge honour to put on a national vest, you know, whether it's Scotland or whether it's GB, but it is really special, yeah, to run for Scotland. I think just because, like, that's where all my journeys come from. You know, I was born in Scotland. I got brought up in Scotland. I live and train in Scotland. And then, yeah, we don't get very many opportunities to do that either. So, yeah, it's really special when you can put on that Scottish vest. Yeah.
And I guess you've got the Commonwealth's coming up, right, next year. So there'll be an opportunity to run for Scotland. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've got a little bit of unfinished business with the Commonwealth because I was fortunate to compete in Glasgow 2014. Yeah. But I would only have been 21, and unfortunately I made it to the final and I was in a really good place and I was hoping to medal, but then I tripped and came 11th in the final. So I was just, oh, I was so gutted, you know, being like in literally like my home city almost. And then I had to miss Commonwealth in 2018, but it was in Australia because I had my vet degree exams literally like a month later. So yeah, I had to miss commies in 2018. So yeah, I feel like it's been an eight-year gap that I've wanted to, yeah, fix that Commonwealth sort of record I have and get a medal on the cards for
Team Scotland. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
What's your training like? I mean, have you had much of a break since Tokyo? Do you like to have a good month off after the build up, or do you like to sort of give yourself a little week and then crack on? How's the training going right now?
I literally only had a couple of days off. Yeah, so I had the day off after the final, and then we had to travel back pretty quickly. So then I had the day off, like flying home. Yeah. And then I was back training, yeah, wow. Literally like third day. Yeah, because I was hoping to race. So I trained for a couple of weeks and I was hoping to do a few more races this season. But I think my body was just like not happy. Yeah, it was just too tired. So yeah, I literally just called it a day a couple of days ago and decided like, right, I think my body's telling me I need to have a break. So, but I'm only going to have about a couple of weeks off because literally if I don't run for a couple of weeks or more than a couple of weeks, it just can't run because it's just, well, you're used to running like 6 days a week every week and then suddenly you don't run, it's like, whoa, your body's like, what's going on? So yeah, after a couple of weeks I think I'll start getting back into some easy runs and get myself back into it. Yeah.
Do you find yourself going a bit stir crazy when you can't run? Because every runner, when you get injured, so the average runner or the, you know, everyone's sort of like, when you can't run, it's when you want to run the most. So when you have whenever you have any time off, you kind of find yourself just sort of pacing the house, wondering why you've got so much energy going on. Is that sort of what?
I think when it's my break, I'm okay. Yeah. Like after a couple of weeks, I do get a bit of itchy feet after a couple of weeks. Yeah. But when I'm on my break, and especially when it's after like a busy season and stuff, and you do feel tired, it's like, yeah, no, I know I need this. I need this now. Yeah. And yeah, but I do like to keep sort of active, you know, in terms of like going for walks or bike rides and stuff like that. So yeah.
What does because this is interesting. So we had Elliot Giles on about 2 months ago and his training. So he's an 800 meter runner. If anyone listening doesn't know him, it's amazing. He's like, he does no long running. I think he runs three times a week. So he averages about 15 miles and he does a lot of stuff on the elliptico.
Yeah.
I know obviously 1500 meters, you probably have to do quite a bit more mileage than that. But what does a sort of typical week look like for you, if you could sum it up?
Yeah. So I probably do between like 50 or 60 miles a week. So I think it's relatively low, I think, for what people expect me to be doing, especially because I can run like 3Ks and 5Ks as well. But I think for us, our sort of like motto, I guess, is sort of quality over quantity. So we'd rather do stuff at sort of a higher intensity and a faster pace and sort of do less time on your feet than sort of the opposite. But I think, yeah, the likes of Elliot, like I know Elliot really well, and he's had some injury issues in the past, and it's just working out what works for you. And it is amazing because you can find athletes like myself that can do, yeah, run the times that I'm running off quite low mileage, but yeah, there'll be other athletes running the same sort of times and they'll be doing higher mileage. So it just depends on you and your body and your physiology and what works for you. Yeah.
Would you do a long run, Laura, just like most people on the weekend?
Yeah. So we actually go by time rather than like distance. So my long run, the furthest I've ever run is 75 minutes. And I quite like that sort of thing by going by time, because if you're feeling really good, then you'll run further. And then if you're not feeling so good, then you'll run shorter. But regardless, you can only be on your feet for 75 minutes. It would be horrible, yeah, to be like, I don't know, have to run so many miles and you're feeling exhausted and you're like, oh, it's going to take forever. So I quite like that how we do that. Yeah.
What is your easy pace? It's so funny because when like elites talk about easy pace, you're like, oh yeah, like just we're going out and it's like 6:30 minute miling, you know, just like jogging or whatever.
Yeah. I usually, the majority of my runs are all sub 6 minute miling. Yeah.
Oh, me
and that's
too.
Regardless.
same.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that is there a philosophy that you think like you actually don't want to be doing like kind of slower running because it's not useful for what you want to do, or is it actually hard for you to go slower than that?
I think it's quite hard for me to go slow. Yeah. Like when I'm coming back, obviously from a break, like trying to run sub 6 minute mile, it will feel a bit hard to begin with. And then once I get fitter, like it's fine. But sub six is quite comfortable for me. But I think as well with my biomechanics, I just run better when I'm running faster.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like my coach is always nagging me when like I'm jogging like for a warm up. He's like, your technique is so awful. And it's like, oh no. And it's just, I'm just better when I'm running faster.
Yeah.
It's
because
everything moves so differently. And yeah, that just works. It's fine that it works for you and that works for me.
Yeah. It's a great thing that we always talk about with marathon training. And I mean, this is, you know, I don't know if you have a marathon in you at any point, if that's something that you're, but we always talk about the skill of learning to run slowly for those like long runs, because it's so, it kind of feels super alien, because as you say, biomechanically, your body feels better when you're going faster. So you kind of like ease off and you're like, oh, I feel kind of clumpy and a bit kind of like not so great. Yeah. So it's good to know that we're all the same, really. It's harder to run slower.
That's what you've taken from it.
I've just gone, everyone struggles with slow running. It's fine. Yeah. It's
good. Have you thought about kind of post-track life, Laura? I know, like, obviously, you know, it's not as if you're coming to the end of your career at all. But do you think about what you might want to achieve in the running and beyond after maybe the track stuff is done?
Yeah, I mean, it would be quite fun to do a little bit of road stuff. Like I've done road miles before, and they're good fun. I think I could probably race okay over maybe like a half marathon, because that is kind of like a Sunday long run.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So I could probably race okay over that, but I mean, a marathon, that's just a completely different ballgame. I'm not racing a marathon.
No, sorry.
No, that's fine. But I'd love to do one like for fun, because I feel like it's such like an iconic event and an iconic distance. So I would love to do one like for fun, like literally jog, like, and I would run slow I would feel comfortable at that, but I would jog. There's no way I'm running a fast marathon.
Maybe you'd even come down to 6 minute mile pace.
So, but yeah, anything longer than a half competitively, I don't know about that.
Well, before we get onto the road, let's go back to the track, because you've previously run a lot of 5,000 meters, and obviously, you know, the medal was in the 1500s, and that's a sort of quite a significant, you often get a lot of 1500, 800 meters runners and not necessarily 1500, 5000 meter. What's sort of different demands in those two distances, and sort of would you juggle between the two?
Yeah, so I ran the 5K at the London World Championships in 2017. And then after that, I kind of focused a little bit more on 800, 1500, because I think we realized that like, in order for my 1500 to be better, I need to improve my speed a little bit. So we've kind of been focusing on 8 and 15 since then. But I would really love to kind of, go back to the 5K maybe these next couple of years, because I feel like, it's a little bit of kind of unfinished business with that event. I think I could run quite a bit faster. And it's, I think usually running 1500s, it's a lot further. I think it's just about... I've had some good 5Ks and some bad 5Ks. And I think it's just about kind of pacing yourself well, because I mean, like an 8 or a 15, if you don't pace it right, at least you've only got a lap or so to go. Mm. But in a 5K, there's a long way to go. So that can be very nasty. So yeah, I think it's just like pacing it and not going off too hard and not like fighting for position and like surging, trying to get position, because at the end of the day, you've got 5K to sort it out. Whereas like in positioning for the 8 and 1500s, a bit more, like a lot more important, because you've not got as much time. So which I think what I panicked about in the 5K before was like, oh, I have to be in this position. I like wasted energy doing that when actually like you've got loads of time to sort it out. So yeah, I think it's just you've got more time to, yeah, to kind of get your position and things, but at the same time, it's you've got to pace it right, or it's a long way to go. Yeah.
Do you think not doing the 5,000 meters in Tokyo allowed you to compete better at 15?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think the timetable didn't really work that great to double over the 5K and 1500. Like, one of the athletes did do it.
Yeah.
But I think it showed that, you know, she was a bit tired for some of her races. But I think especially in Tokyo with the conditions, it was like so humid and warm. So with endurance races, so it makes like racing difficult anyway, but yeah, even more so when it's longer endurance races and you've got multiple rounds, like you'd have the heat and the final of the 5K, and then you'd have the heat semi-final and the final of the 1500.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's, you know, the European Championships or anything like that. You know, it's Olympic Games, where it's like the most competitive event you can go into. So yeah, I think for me, I knew the 1500 was my strongest event, and for me to kind of do as well as I could in that event, I wanted to be sort of 100% and have those fresh legs.
Have you framed the medal yet? Just out of interest.
No, I've not. No, I wanna keep it mobile so I can handle it and.
That's good. I think yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I like that.
Do you think that there's pressure when you build up to a major champs or the Olympics to double up on events because it's that one opportunity, or is it more that, you know, actually, I'm just going to race the one, because we spoke, you know, you talked to athletes who go, I'm going to do this. And obviously at the games, we saw people doing more than one event. Is it because it's the one opportunity to do all of that? Or is it just, as you say, it's a scheduling thing sometimes?
Yeah, it depends. It does depend a lot on the schedule. Yeah. Because sometimes like you might have the final of both events in one night. So it's like, right, that's that taken out, or heats and semifinals, whatever might overlap. But I think it just kind of depends on sort of the athlete that you are, the competition that you're up against. If your main event is like first or second, so like for me, the 1500 was at the end and that was my best event. So it's like, had that been at the start, I could have got the 1500 done out of the way 100%, you know, in that event, and then I could have done something else. But because it was the end, it makes it a bit more tricky. And it just depends, yeah, what opportunities you have. Like if you've gone and you've won everything, or you've got everything out of your past experiences at championships and want to do something a little bit different and, you know, challenge yourself, then yeah, you could double up into different things. So I think it just depends, yeah, sort of athlete you are, the competition you're up against, and at what point in your career, you know, that you're at, and what you want to achieve, and if doubling up sort of makes you want to achieve something different. Yeah.
Laura, thanks so much for your time and coming on the Runners World podcast. Absolutely great to talk to you about the Olympics and your running and slow running at sub 6 minute mile pace.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
thanks for having me. It's been really good.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. A big thanks to our guest Laura Muir, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to 3 issues of Runners World magazine for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer. You can listen to the Runners World podcast on Acast, iTunes, and all of your favourite podcast apps. You know this because you're listening to it, but you should tell all of your friends. Just search Runners World UK and please click subscribe. It makes us very happy indeed. Thanks for listening. See you again next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.